Well, that's what I find here. You get a lot of is stereotyping. They walk by, and just because you are homeless, you might be panhandling or whatever you're doing, or digging in a bin to get today's meal, they look at you as filth, and they do. And I wish they would definitely take the time to, and some people do, take the time to stop and talk to you and find out who you are, why you're out here, and what's going on with your life. And most of the time, all it takes is just a little bit of conversation and a sense of humor, and then you break that, you break the wall down. Then they don't stereotype you anymore. The next time they see you, they'll talk to you, smile, say hi, and accept you for who you are as a human being.
And understand the factors also?
What was that?
Understand the factors?
Yes, yes. And then they begin to see why we do, why we have to do what we do every day to survive. Instead of looking at us as bottom feeders.
Would you like to talk about the factors that makes you who you are? What you've been through?
Oh, my, my. Where should I begin on that one? I said, I'm 41, so when you look at where I'm at at this point in my life and where it began, I mean, there's a lot of different factors, whether it's, you know, poverty growing up, deaths in your family, like, you know, your parents passing away, abuse, you know, it all plays a part, every bit of it does. And I don't know if you can say it, you know, maybe I should have dealt with it differently, but you can't. I mean, when you're dealt a hand, you have to, I feel it's your hand to play, and you have to deal with it, deal with what you were dealt. And it's not easy. Just try and toughen yourself up and make sure you get through the day and the day after. But there's so many factors, and it's so deep for each individual, because I can only speak for myself. But I know there are so many people out there who have gone through the same things that I've gone through and are going through the same circumstances. And, you know, what can you do about it?
Yeah, how do you deal with it?
Sometimes I suppress it and just put it away as that's what happened, and I just have to continue on. I'm not gonna give up and say, oh, poor me, you know what I mean? I've gone through all this shit in my life, and now, you know.
I'm gonna lay down and die.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lay down and die. But it's like it's hard. It's hard. It's not an easy walk. No, by no means, it's not an easy walk. But we have a lot of good days. You know, as long as you continue to keep your humor and your laughter and your life, it's enjoyable at times, depending on what you're going through.
Would you like to talk about what you've been through?
About the cycles I've been through? I've been through a lot of cycles of sexual abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse at a young age, starting from 2 years up. And basically that's what brings me off here, to get to know other people that's been through that. And I actually took time out through my marriage of 17 years, and then I broke that down into half, and I took like 2 years to come out and meet people on the street and that were in the same cycle, connect, reach out, talk, share. And I met a lot of good people out there that went through the same thing. And today, I'm back out here, same stuff, different day, yeah.
It's good that you brought that point up, Sherry, because, no, I totally relate with that, with coming out on the street and getting to talk and relate to people who have gone through the same cycles that we have with the abuse. And myself, I mean, I went through 6 years out from the time I was 8 till I was 14, sexual. And there wasn't so much physical abuse or mental abuse growing up, because I had a nice home. But no, I had good parents. I'll put it that way. I had good parents. But there was a point with all the sexual abuse, and I think that's a point when a person stops growing. You do it builds a wall. It shuts you down. It really does change. It changes your future. But to come out on the streets and to meet a lot of other people that have gone through the same thing and communicate with them, and it almost keeps you out here, because you're with people who understand. They're walking the same walk every day. They're sleeping under the same bridge. They're sleeping in the same bush camp. They're digging in the same bins, eating the same food, and we all share the same food. We all feed the masses, and it's like, but we relate, and it's so hard to try to walk back into, you know, the blue collar or white collar society and try to adapt again. It's just so much easier to sit, comfortable. It's so much more comfortable to stay out here and be with the people that understand you.
But I see it a lot more. I see it the different point of view of that. When I come from a spiritual background, I can go from here back into the spirit world and then back and then reach other people. Like where my ancestors and that, what they went through and still going through before they even reached there, and then go back into the Mother Earth's womb and just do my thing and heal. See, I got that part of me that I can share with a lot of people, a lot of knowledge in that area that I can share if they want to heal. And I think I'm in that turning point, because I already healed so much what I was talking about earlier. Yeah, I talk about like physical abuse, mental abuse, and those cycles. Alcohol, drugs. It's the drug that I'm battling right now. Alcohol, I can walk away, because I grew up in an alcohol family situation. But living out here is just like, it's the drugs. And so far I've been doing something good, considering where I came from 4 months ago. And how I did that was by coming back out here and meeting people that are in the same boat.
And you were telling us about the ways you did, like
going into,
for example, communication.
Yeah, communication, that's to me, that's number one. Communication with everybody.
And was it like also confrontation with your family?
Oh, my family. It's like being raised in a Christian, the opposite belief, that really played a role in my decision of how I feel and how we connect to how I connect to my family, and how we disconnect and they don't see it. Yeah. And basically, through all that, I lose my children.
Why are you losing your children?
Because they do not understand where I come from, my belief, my background, where I've been. Yeah. I didn't show them that side of me growing up with them as they were growing. It was like, how would you put that? I didn't want to inflict my life upon their life, my past. I try to make it the best as I can in my marriage. Yeah. I really didn't want them to know who I am. I want them to grow and be themselves. Yeah. Make their own decisions, be themselves. And I can accept that, but at this point they can't accept me because I never showed them who I am. And the part of my family, I guess that's where I lost that part, where they showed them something else. And that was the opposite side of the fence of what I believe. And that's Christianity in my traditional life. And that's how I lost my children.
This
traditional
life? Yeah.
The spirituality
that you find back?
Yeah.
What do you believe? Also.
What do you mean?
You were thinking about what you believe. Just... can you say more about this also?
What do I believe? I believe in the land. I believe in our... I believe in the career. And I believe in life. I believe in freedom, which we lost many, many, many years ago. And I still believe that Mother Nature is going to crash. Because of society, the way society's going. Just take a look around you. You'll see it. And it don't matter what nation is fighting for our rights. It's way beyond. Way beyond. Keeping our lands. And when you talk about my home reservation, I can only speak for my own home, which is filled like through the hallway, all intertwined. A lot of it is crack cocaine that our children are being raised on. So, what does that tell you? What kind of government are we going to have in 5, 10 years? 15 years? As a First Nation or all nations, when there's this drug eating our kids. Minds.
And it is a plague.
It is severe.
Yes.
I went home about a month ago and that's all I seen was crack, crack, crack. Crack cocaine. And it's been there for, I'd say it started at least 10 years in my home roads. Right down to the children.
How did you get out of that?
I grew up here in Winnipeg, and I went home in 91. And then from 91 to 2002, I came back to the city. That was good enough for me, learning enough, 11 years out there. I didn't grow up in my home res, but that was enough for me to learn what's really going down there in my home reservation. And I'm still connected because my family moved home, and I what's going on out there? It's harsh reality. It's not only on my home reserve; it's all reservations.
And a bigger town.
Well,
it's my small hometown, population of 1,200 people in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And there was no such thing as cocaine there when I left in 86, 84, I believe. And I went back in 91 or 92. And I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And we're talking about small towns, anyways, from 20,000, 10,000, 1,200 people. And it's just... It is. It is everywhere. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. I mean, the police, what do they do? Absolutely nothing. Real wasting their time, busting people, drinking in parks and sleeping in the bush when they should be out taking care of serious problems. And it makes me wonder why they're even here, because it's not making any difference at all. And the problems that we have are just growing and growing, and they're getting larger. And then, you know, I don't know what you can say about it. It's just, I'm not impressed with the situation, to say the least. I just wish they'd spend more time taking care of serious crimes and serious issues instead of going out and hassling the homeless and those that are, you know, oppressed. And, you know, it makes me wonder where we're going. And today's youth, my God, youth gone wild. It's not even, most of it's not even their fault. They are being raped. Their parents, their family, they're bringing, introducing them into it. They're making them dealers, making them spotters. And the amount of the gangsters, every little kid now wants to be a gangster. You know, everybody's carrying shanks or pieces. And the amount of violence here, I mean, it scares me. It really does. I mean, I can take care of myself, but my God, when you walk out here and there's 8 or 10 kids that are walking around with baseball bats beating homeless people under the bridge for absolutely no reason, it's, I don't know, it's scary. It really is to think that that's what those are our youth are going to grow up to be what? What type of attitudes are they going to have? What type of political views or opinions are they going to have?
Leadership.
Yeah. Where is that? You know, where is that going to be?
Sad situation we're in, but to me, I think it has to happen. It's just the cycle that we got to go through. It's sad, but it's not that I'm giving up or anything. It's, I do believe. There are people out there that we're in the same boat and think the same way and believe in the same way. It's just a matter of reaching each other. Yeah. And trying to reach out to other people.
Better yourselves.
Yeah.
And reach out and try to help others.
That's all we can do.
And that's bottom line. Yeah.
How do you feel like natives in the Winnipeg and then in the city?
How do you?
Yeah. I'm a little disturbed by that. Mm. Yeah. But it's not only about Winnipeg, it's across Canada. Like, the racism, the. Just bottom line is just.
Racism.
It's like it, you get it from all angles.
You certainly do.
Yeah. It's like suppressing a certain society that stay down low, and they'll stay there. It started many years ago, and they're still there.
So we're continually knocked down, pushed down, over-governed,
you can go on and on and on with that
story. There are so many
different issues.
Especially
when you go back to the residential school system. That's hardcore. Hardcore. Yeah. I didn't learn too much, but what I learned so far is like, I don't even want to learn anymore. It's just like, I heard enough. Sad, sad situation. I can see where my parents and my grandparents and my ancestors came from. How this all transpired, like with the abuse stuff. Like, you can go on and on and on. I could see where it all came from, the diseases. And it's interesting. Interesting to study. But I heard enough. I don't want to hear no more because enough is enough.
If you travel around, you take a look at some of the reservations. I mean, it's pathetic.
Yeah.
Some there are, yes, there are some very nice reservations that are, you know, they're financially stable. Now, some of them are pretty well to do, but you look at a majority of them, and this is across Canada. And I mean, I know Nova Scotia way through to BC, and been on a lot of reservations, and some of them are just, the housing is all falling down, they're unfinished projects, the homes aren't done, and it's all swampland. I mean, you're pushed into an area where you have no hope. Well, you have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in a situation where you're not being financially funded, looked after. There's not enough food. The housing is pathetic. And I mean, it's decrepit. And how can you expect a society, any race or society, to grow under those conditions? I mean, the government, I don't even see where the government cares. I don't at all. They don't have absolutely no input or they don't have no care or thought for us. They don't. We've always been suppressed since way back, and now it's stayed that way. And I don't see any other race on the planet that is suppressed by the government as much as the natives in Canada. I don't. I'm sure it probably runs through the states too. I don't know. I haven't been down through there, so I don't know. But Canada, I've seen so much of it that I know it makes me sick. And it's almost not even worth thinking about anymore. Yes, it's not. Well, they say one person can't do much. But hopefully by speaking out and expressing your opinion, somebody out there will hear and catch something and act upon it, and maybe it will make a change. That's the reason we're sitting here speaking with you this evening, is hopefully something will change down the road.
How the world can change in your mind?
How can the world change?
In our mind.
What we can do and what you can do. And what we can
pray.
Do.
But,
I've gotten to the point where I just pray for myself and my children, my parents. That's all I can do. The rest, they're on their own. That's all I can do.
There has to be, hopefully, some type of leadership in the power that actually looks at the world or our country as a whole, as all of us equal, and then operate on that basis. Treat us all the same, feed us all the same, finance us all the same, give us all the same opportunity for employment, and from there, I think it would be a good foot to start on. I really do. Chances of it happening, I believe, are very slim. Probably none. But
it is a big prayer.
It is. I mean, I have my faith.
Yeah.
And I have a Christian faith. And I see where things are just going to get worse. They're just going to continue. And then man is going to end up destroying himself. I mean, to me, it's inevitable. You look at the planet, the way things are going, whether global warming, the wars, the fight over oil, money, the states and Iraq and Iran.
Meanwhile, there's food in the bin, in the garbage bin, still frozen,
yeah,
ready to eat.
We find enough food to eat in the run of a week out of a bin that overfeed us.
Yep.
I mean, we have more than we can eat, and we need healthier. And some nights I sit in our camp and we'll say, I wonder what the poor people are doing.
Yep.
Because we are just sitting there eating shrimp and steaks and everything else.
Yep.
And there's so many people starving, and people are just throwing everything out into the garbage. And it's like, my God, there's got to be some way to share. And that's what we do. I mean, we bring everybody to our camps. Anyone that needs to eat, you eat. Anyone that comes, you know, it's there. It's
we
on
cook
the,
for everybody that comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And we share what we have.
But the amount of food that goes out just in this little neighborhood in the run of a week is insane.
The village of Winnipeg.
Let alone think Canada. How much food do we waste and throw out, and how many people are starving? How many children are going to school with hungry stomachs? And it's a big issue.
It is. It's an interesting walk.
Keeps your eyes open. That keeps you thinking. But after a while, you've been thinking about it for years and years and years, and you see it, and nothing changes. I mean, after a while, you kind of give up hope that anything's going to change. Because all I see is just getting worse and worse and worse.
Not better.
But you continue. Swill of healing?
Oh, I'll continue my healing, yeah. my healing. I can only heal myself. I can't heal anybody else. The only way I can heal anybody is sharing my story. Yeah. Yes, I'll continue.
As will I.
Oui, oui.
Oui.